Can I begin with a testimony? Since January, and I honestly believe that I had the COVID-19 because I had all the symptoms. Well, anyway, since January, since I had this sickness, I seem to have lost my zeal. I was not excited about things anymore. In fact, I felt tired all the time. Even coming to church didn't excite me. I was just kind of going through the motions. I don't know what it was. But even when I'm driving, in the evening time, I'll be dropping my wife to work, and every time I reach certain spots, it's like I couldn't recognize where I was. My wife would tell me, go to your right, go to your left. I just didn't know where I was. I just wasn't feeling myself. I was trying to put sermons together, but nothing was coming. Nothing at all was coming. I was struggling just to write a sermon. And I did not even feel like preaching because there was nothing there. There was nothing coming from the, I felt there was nothing coming there. I was just tired all the time. I do not know what it was, but I believe it was the COVID. But for this past week or so, I don't know what it was, but that cloud has seemed to have moved away. And I'm feeling like myself again. I'm feeling excited about the work again. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling excited about the work today. Maybe I was lost, but now I feel that I'm found again. I want us to take our Bibles. I'm going to read the scripture reading again. It was read by the young person. But I'm going to read the King James Version, which says to us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may reprove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the word of the Lord. A Virginian pastor who defied warnings about the dangers of religious gatherings during the pandemic vowed to keep proclaiming and preaching the word of God unless he was put in jail or in hospital. Sadly, the media tells us that he contracted COVID-19 and he died. He was not going to compromise his faith, he said. He felt that if he didn't open his church, he was going to compromise his faith. So he opened his church and he died. But many members of his church, even his family, caught the COVID-19 virus. Now, I know that some of us feel that same way. You see, some quote the faithfulness of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They believe that Daniel would not let circumstances change who he was. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys would not bow or allow the government to stop them praising God, praising their God. Now, I believe, brothers and sisters, that there is a difference between being told you need to close your church because there is a virus about which will cause sickness and death to fall upon your membership, than having to be told that you cannot worship on your church on a Saturday because it's not according to the Bible. By closing our churches, we are not being unfaithful, for under these circumstances, we are not being unfaithful. Today, saints of God, I want to ask you the question, this important question: what does it mean to dare to be a Daniel? Let us pray. Our God, our Heavenly Father, it is good that you are with us through this pandemic. Oh, what would we do if you was not walking by our side each and every day? Lord, I pause a moment for those who have passed away. The sadness of what has happened has broken many of our hearts. But Lord, we are contented that they have passed away in a Christ-filled grave, that the destiny has been set, and if we who are alive are faithful, we will see them again one day. But now, Lord, grant each one of us wisdom and understanding as we open your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Life is a matter of choices. We are making choices every day at every single step in our lives. Right from the time we wake up to the time we fall asleep at night. Some of these are so routine, we do not even stop to think about the choice we make. For instance, the choice of what we eat and what we wear, the routes we take to our offices. The only thing that we can control is making a choice. Consequences are something we have to deal with later. But brothers and sisters, I believe that the fear of consequences should not stop us making a choice. The choice we make defines us as a person. Now, the word choice itself, used as a noun in the dictionary, is the act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. Something we do on a daily basis, I believe. Adam and Eve exercised their power of choice and chose to be what? Sinful. Adam had the power of choice in a sinless world. We, on the other hand, have the power of choice in a sinful world. Now, Daniel became lion food because of the choice he made. Samson could not see, even though he had eyes to see. So his eyesight was taken away from him because of the choice he made. David lost four sons because Bathsheba had something his other wives and concubines did not have. Don't ask me what, I don't know. John the Baptist lost his head over another man's wife because of the choice he made. Saul lost his kingdom, King Saul, because of some animal, because of the choice he made. The three Hebrew boys were nearly barbecued because of the choice they made, and the list goes on and on and on. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want us to put ourselves in Daniel's sandals. Daniel's life is a testimony to each one of us. Who we are does not change because of our circumstances. The choices that we make should not be affected by our circumstances, my brothers and sisters. I want us to to look at the book of Daniel 6. I'm going to read from Daniel 6, 1 to 2. It tells us that King Darius, listen to me, set over his kingdom 120 princes. And over these were three presidents, of which Daniel was the first. For the Bible says that he found favor in the eyes of King Darius. Let us slip down to verse 4, where the Bible says that the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Now, because of his faithfulness, they could not find fault or even an error in him. What a testimony, my brothers and sisters. Now you go down to verse 7. The text says, all the presidents of the kingdom, governors, princes, counselors, and captains consulted together to establish a royal decree. Do you understand what I've just read? The Bible says all of them of the kingdom. Whether or not they all knew about the plot to destroy or discredit Daniel, the Bible does not say. But all were part in establishing, listen to me now, all were part in establishing the decree. Maybe in those days, life was cheap. Now, we know that they were jealous of Daniel and did not like him. So they determined in their hearts, not just to force him out of his job, but to destroy him, but to kill him. Now, what puzzles me is this. Where was Daniel? Was he not part of the all? You would have thought that King Darius would have sought counsel from Daniel before he went ahead with the decree. However, scripture is silent. Now, once the decree was established and passed, meaning that the law of the Medes and Persians could not be altered or changed. In effect, what I'm saying is that King Darius signed the decree. As he signed the decree, he no longer had the power to stop, alter, or change it. Now, imagine this. Passing a law that would affect the whole kingdom of King Darius. Now, in the book of Daniel 2, the part signifying the beasts, signifying the breasts and arms of silver, the bear, of the statue of the Iron Man, the breast of iron and silver, represented Medo-Persia. That was a world kingdom at that time. And then there is the bear of the prophecy of Daniel 7, which also represents the kingdom of Medo-Persia. Now, Medo-Persia was at that point in Daniel's life, the world empire of different nations, from Israel to the west, to India to the east. Now, this is a law that would affect millions and millions of people. I'm going to say this again. This was a law that would affect millions of people. All because the leaders in Persia wanted to destroy one person. Just one person. They were willing to inconvenience the whole of the mighty empire of Persia just to stop one person. Now, there's a fundamental lesson we can learn from this. No one is expendable to the enemy of our faith. There is no one or nothing that the devil would not sacrifice to bring about the downfall of God's remnant church. In other words, the devil will bring this nation, the United Kingdom, to ruin, or even the world to ruin, if it would stop the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Somebody needs to say, God, have mercy. There's not a story in the Bible which is in a similar vein, which highlight this fact. It is taken from the book of Esther, the story of a young Jewish girl who became queen. Now, I'm assuming that you are familiar with the story. Haman, because of his hatred for Mordecai, went into the presence of the king to sign a decree, not just to destroy Mordecai, but to destroy all Jews because of one man. One man. God have mercy. Another point for us to remember is that this was no longer a young Daniel. The Daniel in the days of the long prosperous reign of Nebuchadnezzar. By that point, I believe he had passed away. Now, by the time of Belshazzar, Daniel seemed to have been forgotten, as the queen had to remind Belshazzar that Daniel still existed. It's easy to see that Belshazzar was not a good king because Daniel was not part of his inner circle. Now, at that point, Daniel was now in an advance. Now, at the death of Belshazzar, Daniel became king. Darius became king over Babylon. Daniel was now at an advanced stage in his life. I believe he was over 80 years old. Now, how Daniel was able to change from one kingdom to the other and be made president over the kingdom of Medo Persia, the Bible doesn't inform us how that happened. But we do know that he was preferred over all the other presidents and princes. But my brothers and sisters, it seemed that Daniel was now alone. There is no more talk in the Bible about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is the possibility that they may have died or passed away. Though that seems unlikely because these were strong, healthy boys. Maybe they had retired and were no longer in service. Now, we can only speculate, but Daniel seemed to have been alone. Now, because he was a man of prayer, he recognized the effect the new law would affect the way he worshiped. He realized that there were serious consequences to disobey or to obey the decree. You know, it was David who said that, "I am in great distress, but let us fall now into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let not me fall into the hand of man." Peter also stated, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, or else you'll miss this point. Although it appeared if Daniel kept on praying to God, as was his custom, he would fall into the hands of man, in reality, he would fall under the protective care of God, of the Almighty God. Now, if he obeyed the decree of King Darius, he would no longer be under the protective care of God. Now, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Paul, however, does make it plain. Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." My brothers and sisters, saints of God, trying to avoid preconceived ideas of the outcome of our actions has led us to do and say things that has caused us to compromise our faith. Hear what I said. My admonition to you today is obey God and leave the consequences to God. Let me repeat myself. Obey God and leave the consequences to God. You need to understand this. When we compromise our faith, we push God away from us. Maybe not intentionally, however, this is what happens. Put yourself in Daniel's sandals. The law has now passed. Was he afraid? I guess he was. But maybe, just maybe, Daniel had gone through this kind of temptations and trials so often that he trusted the Almighty God to do what he does best. Now, you do understand what I'm talking about, don't you? If you have not been saved from the lion's den, if you have not been saved from the fiery furnace, if you have not been saved through many trials and temptations, I guess you would not understand what I am talking about. However, if you understand, you know what it means when God saved you from an abusive husband who was about to do you serious harm. Somehow he falls and hurts himself. When your colleagues at work, listen to me now, when your colleagues at work turn against you for no apparent reason, when you thought you were on your way out, somehow God does his thing and your colleague is the one who is on the way out. When the operation went wrong and the doctor has given up on you, or that was 10 years ago and you are still living, alive and kicking. When you fail your driving test 6 times and on the 7th time, you get stuck in a traffic for most of the test and you pass. Now, brothers and sisters, if as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, you are not overcoming trials and temptations through the blood of the Lamb, something is wrong with your relationship with Jesus. Now, Daniel, his window opened towards Jerusalem. He goes down on his knees, trembling. I want you to know, oh, it's hard serving the Lord sometimes. Do not fool yourself, my brothers and sisters. It is not an easy road. When you say you want to follow Jesus, your family want to put you out. When you tell your husband you want to keep the Sabbath holy, your husband will threaten your life. When you have mortgage to pay and you leave that job because you do not want to break the Sabbath, and no matter how hard you try, you cannot find another job. However, because you know what the psalmist has said, Psalms 37:25, I've been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor received begging bread. There is more, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Because of this, you continue to endure hardness as a good soldier, because you know a blessing is just around the corner. Maybe Daniel was thinking, I better close the window after all. It's a bit chilly outside. I do not really have to kneel all the time. It doesn't matter when you pray or how you pray, as long as you pray. God will understand. You see, when trouble comes our way, when persecution seems to come our way, the amount of excuses we make, all of a sudden, we are doctors of interpreting the law. You see, I believe at that stage in Daniel's life that Daniel had known, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Daniel knew that. Oh yes, he could have shut the window and pray hidden away from the world in some corner of the room. Now imagine the scenario: the government decides to outlaw praying in our churches, in church. Now here is something we can complain about. Would you pray and risk being arrested? You know, many years ago, there was an AY meeting in one of our churches. The pastor was speaking. All of a sudden, soldiers entered the church. They went up to the pulpit and pushed the pastor to the floor. At that point, the church was in an uproar. Not with faithful warriors for Jesus, but men and women and children frightened for their lives. Strong men hiding under the pews. Women crying in terror. There was panic and mayhem. Until the AY leader pointed out, this was just an act. You know, if you are told you can attend church but no praying, I guess that some of us would reason and rationalize the merits of, let's keep the church open at the expense of prayer. Daniel knew if he continued to pray in this manner, what the consequences would be. For the Bible says, Daniel 6, chapter 10, now when Daniel knew that a writing was signed, he went into his house and his window being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetimes. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now I believe there is a possibility that the same men who hoodwinked King Darius into signing the decree positioned themselves at a strategic place to see if Daniel would alter his behavior because of the changed circumstances. In their hearts, they knew what the answer would be. You see, there are certain elements of our faith that are non-negotiable. Keeping the Sabbath holy is not open to debate. Returning a faithful tithe is not open to debate. Being baptized is not open to debate. Partaking in Holy Communion is not open to debate. And praying, my brothers and sisters, is not open to debate. You know, due to certain circumstances, we've not been able to, as the Bible says, to assemble of ourselves together. However, it has not stopped us from keeping the Sabbath holy. We're able to meet, not in physical appearance or on media platforms like Zoom, Skype, or whatever web-based video conferencing tools take our fancy. The Sabbath day is the Sabbath day, whether or not we are in the church building. Whatever the circumstances, the Sabbath remains the Sabbath. And you know what we like to say? The church is not the building. It is the people. Well, brothers and sisters, things are not always what they seem. It was like the princes and presidents had hit the jackpot, won the lottery. There were high fives and congrats. Let's have a party, everybody. They must have been ecstatic. You know what I'm talking about. When you get rid of the boss at work who you did not like, when you get rid of the pastor who you did not like, or when you got rid of Theresa May, when they joined their hearts, they went to the king. They said to the king, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regards not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the Bible says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You know, many of us are quick to lay blame on leaders and leadership and presume to know people's motives for doing things. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes those around us with ulterior motives smooth talk leaders into making wrong decisions. Now, this was the case of King Darius. You know, about 3 months ago in Grenada, West Indies. Did I say the land of spice and all that's nice? Shall I say it again? I guess not. About 3 months ago in Grenada, West Indies, during the lockdown, some government officials met and decided to ease the lockdown to allow people to shop. So guess what they did? The day that they allowed people out for shopping was the Saturday. Because, you know, Saturday is logically the shopping day for the world. I hope it's sinking in. It was broadcast on the media network. However, brothers and sisters, we have to give praise to God that he has people everywhere. It was brought to the Prime Minister's attention. Well, Prime Minister, what about the Seventh-day Adventists? When the Prime Minister heard that, he was furious that such a mistake was made. He quickly added Friday to allow the Seventh-day Adventists to shop. Now, the headlines, listen to me now, the headlines in some people's minds was Adventists persecuted in Grenada. And some even articulated it. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up his standard against him. You see, Daniel did not flinch in the face of such adversity. He was not going to let circumstances dictate to him and cause him to depart from strict integrity. That is what we need today. You know that saying we always read, we always say, and I'm going to read it today again. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their innermost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall, who are willing to stand up in the defense of truth at the workplace, at the universities, in the hospital, or whatever they are. My brothers and sisters, we can help shape lives or destroy lives. My brothers and sisters, it is under a time such as this. If under a time such as this, you are buckling under the weight of your mortgage, you are questioning God because of your illness, the COVID-19 virus has left you frightened, the uncertainty of the future is weakening your faith. Saints of God, you need to take a look at Daniel in the lion's den. Take a look of Joseph rushing from his master's wife. Take a look of Moses who refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer what? Affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. However, my brothers and sisters of God, if you want real inspiration, if you want real inspiration, did you hear what I said? If you want faith, define inspiration. If you want to go the extra mile, take a look at Jesus and him crucified. You see, there's going to come a time. Are you with me now? Like in the life of Daniel, when laws will be passed, restricting our liberty. It is in times like the present time where through circumstances, our way of life has been threatened, that God is making us ready, is fitting us to be able to pray through the lion's den, to pray through the fiery furnace, to pray through whatever obstacles comes our way. I leave you today, as I close, with this precious admonition from the prophet Jeremiah. If thou run with the footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, thou wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? God bless you, saints of God, and have a blessed Sabbath. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are trying to speak to us. You are trying to help us to understand that in times like these, we need to be learning at the feet of Jesus. We need to allow him to be so much of our lives that whatever we are doing or saying will be as if Jesus is saying it himself. We need to have that relationship, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, that we can know that Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, that God is with us, working through us and in us, working out his will in our lives. That when trials come, that we can get the victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today, Lord, as we ponder upon Daniel, and we dare to be a Daniel in our daily lives, let us ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us and lead us, that no matter what the circumstances we are in, we can hold forth to strict integrity. And as Daniel, continue to serve you, come what may. Thank you for your word today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.